So, Mark, just a quick comment on where we're at right now in terms of adjuvant therapy, HER2 positive, node negative tumors, particularly the smaller ones under one centimeter where there's so much controversy.
First, I just wanted to comment about this case also, and I agree completely that dysrhythmia is not a feature of trastuzumab-associated cardiac abnormalities. And so I would wonder, in a case like this, are there other treatable causes of cardiac dysfunction? Certainly her thyroid would need to be checked. And with this history of hyperlipidemia and some shortness of breath, that raises the whole specter of could she have occult ischemic heart disease? So all those things, I'm sure your cardiologist marched through and ruled out before finalizing her year of trastuzumab. So in terms of treating patients with these smaller tumors, I mean, this is a T2 lesion. So it turns out that Giovanni Pauletti had looked at a large South Australian cohort and measured HER2 using FISH. And these were patients treated with standard adjuvant chemotherapy in that region back in the probably 80s and 90s. And what he found is that HER2 amplified T2N0 lesions had the same clinical outcome, that is, same adverse prognosis as N1 disease. So these are legitimate candidates for systemic adjuvant therapy, and in particular, of course, nowadays, trastuzumab-based systemic adjuvant therapy. So there are two trials that have looked at the node-negative subsets of trastuzumab in the adjuvant setting. The HERA trial had a sufficient number of patients to look at that subset, and they found a statistically significant benefit of adjuvant trastuzumab even in node-negative patients. And the BCRG-006 similarly demonstrated statistically significant benefits in treating the node-negative subset, which made up about 30% of those subjects in that trial as well. So there's strong clinical trial evidence that node-negative HER2-amplified patients benefit from trastuzumab-based regimens, and so I think this patient was treated appropriately. And with regard to even smaller tumors, the question then becomes, how much of an adverse outcome does HER2 really confer, even in small tumors, let's say sub-centimeter tumors? And that question is still difficult to quantify, if for no other reason than they're infrequent. Most HER2-amplified cases actually present with somewhat larger tumors, and many of them are lymph node positive. So,
has that been quantified? I hear people say that. Is there actual numbers
sure,
on what the average sizes of an HER2 positive tumor?
Look at this database from British Columbia that Karen Gelman presented at the last San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium, where she essentially captured all of the breast cancer cases for the whole region and looked at HER2 status. And basically what she found is that a very, very small fraction were HER2 amplified and T1A, T1B. Most of the node-negative HER2-amplified cases that she found in her data set were actually T1C lesions or T2N0 lesions. So it's infrequent, at least in that province in Canada, and that's the largest data.
Did she compare that to the HER2-negative tumors?
No, I don't think in that study she did direct measurements to quantify that, but certainly there's a strong association between HER2 and lymph node status, for example. And in some studies, there's association with T stage. The good news is that it's fairly infrequent, but it does come up, and I seem to get a phone call at least about once a week about these kinds of cases, what to do, because traditionally you might have patients who wouldn't even be considered candidates for cytotoxic therapy at all, and yet because they're HER2 amplified, the question is what's their natural history. If you look at that Canadian data set, their natural history, even though it's a small number of cases, their natural history at 10 years actually looks to be fairly sobering. There was like about a 20% recurrence risk in these HER2 positive node negative cases from that cohort. So even though it's small numbers, the available data that we have suggests that those are still going to be bad actors and biology may trump T stage. So I would still consider small HER2 amplified tumors as candidates for trastuzumab based regimens, whether or not they're candidates for chemotherapy.
Would you treat under 5 millimeters?
Probably not. Everyone has their threshold level of comfort. If you have such a small tumor or DCIS with microinvasion, these types of situations, it's arguable that their prognosis is so good that it would be very difficult to demonstrate an improvement with trastuzumab. So certainly we all have our own cutoffs, and it probably depends on other comorbid factors. Are they even candidates for trastuzumab, or do they have other competing causes of mortality? All these things play into these kinds of decisions. So I don't have a strict cutoff of size. It depends on the protoplasm.